In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a day for the extraordinary, to retell the story as if we were eyewitnesses. This is the day to listen and be transformed. Picture the scene. Mary of Magdalene had risen very early that first Easter day. While it was still night, she'd walked through Jerusalem in the darkness to make her way to where he lay. It was dangerous being a woman walking alone, but she couldn't wait any longer. After all the grueling experiences of the week, she was in shock. What had happened was impossible to comprehend. Everything they had worked for, everything they had left behind to follow him for, had cruelly and abruptly crashed around them, like the aftermath of a horrific earthquake. The very foundations of their lives were shaken. Just a short week ago, on Palm Sunday, Jesus was a star, the main attraction for the crowds gathering for the festival, cheering as he was the hope for their nation, some even calling him God's Messiah. But politics was as fickle then as it can be now, and the supporters had sharply turned on Jesus for reasons that still weren't completely clear to Mary or the other followers. Only one thing was completely clear. Jesus' disciples had lost the dearest friend they'd known, a profound teacher who had changed their lives, their mentor. And they'd lost their sense of purpose in life, their very identity, as his trusted companions and students. Now the only thing that could still be done for Jesus was to ensure he had a decent burial. Indeed, to give him what the religious customs called for, to at least treat his battered corpse with tender dignity. Mary hadn't been able to sleep, waiting for this one last thing she could still do for him. Many have known the feelings that motivated Mary that day. The things we are driven to when a loved one is gone, and we do not quite comprehend it yet. We hold on to items of theirs. We think about what they would be doing if they were here with us, and maybe go to places that were dear to them. It's often a comfort to be just near where we experience their life. For these sorts of reasons, we can imagine why Mary woke up so early and went to Jesus' tomb. We also can imagine her horror when Jesus' body is missing, the tomb door ajar. She's convinced that his body has been snatched away, perhaps to be further desecrated and mocked by his enemies, perhaps to be publicly displayed as some macabre lesson to the rest of the disciples to ensure they cease his work. That was a common practice of the Roman occupation. They would do things such as this, as a warning to others. So finding the empty tomb, Mary flees to get Peter and John. She knows exactly where to find them. Because on the Sabbath day just ended, these followers, who have spent months together on the road with Jesus and one another, apparently have slowly reconvened, not really knowing where else to go or what to do. They face one another with guilt and confusion and sheer terror. This group was so few of them, where so few of them stayed loyal to Jesus. And they've slowly started talking it through over and over and over, trying to understand, trying to grapple with their utter panic that they will be the next to be accused by the authorities. Peter and John do come to the garden, look and leave. But Mary won't leave, because she has still received no answer that satisfies her. Jesus' body is still missing, so she keeps asking her questions. Where is the body? Where have they laid him? Unrelenting, she asks anyone she sees. She'll ask the two complete strangers she finds sitting in the tomb, never derailed from her mission by their odd and sudden presence in that location. And next, she'll ask the gardener. She'll talk to anyone who might know, who might be in the vicinity. Where is Jesus? You see, Mary kept asking her questions and asking her questions and asking her questions, looking for Jesus until the time Jesus called her by name again. Mary. What about you? Have you been called by name before? Known by your first name as Mary was known by hers? Have you ever had the feeling that you're being spoken to directly by God? Often it just feels like a prodding, but it's there nonetheless. Some may say no almost instinctively, as if that were too great a thing or too odd. But I don't just mean that a voice spoke out loud to you. I mean, have you ever experienced something that seemed given just to you, just when you needed it, in a way that you didn't think possible, something that could have been of God? Has there been a time when you prayed and you felt an unexpected peace or warmth or quiet? Have you ever fumed over missing one opportunity only to discover a better one that will be much more fulfilling appears? Perhaps one that has more of God's will for your life? Coincidences? Perhaps. But once we have experienced a bit of what the power of love and forgiveness, mercy and peace can do, we can start to accept that Jesus knows us by our first names. And he wants to be close to us, to bring us new life, to take all those places in our lives where we have felt dead and bring them alive again. So what exactly happened on that first Easter day? Questions still abound, and they have since the church began. Among the first Christians, some said that Jesus rose into a new way of living, a new way of being present to us now. Some described the spirit of Jesus, who now lived within them, within their own bodies, as close as breath itself. Others found love alive, so near and tangible, that as they tried to explain what the world had never known before, they said Jesus was as real as he had always been. And whilst the accounts may differ, on one thing every single account agrees, and history bears it out. Something extraordinarily powerful happened that day. Before Easter, Jesus' friends were a scared group of men and women, overcome by their own guilt at betraying their Lord, leaderless and bereft, fearing their own deaths. But after Jesus' resurrection, they were transformed. They experienced Jesus in their midst again, still loving them, despite their failures. Jesus still trusting them to spread his message about a God of love and justice and peace for everyone. Because of what they experienced at the first Easter, each called by name again, that small group set aside their all-consuming fear of death and went forth into the world. Death had been overcome, and a new life in God had begun. Not by worldly might or power or prestige, but by that little group's message of love, their lives of love for one another, and their conviction that they were not alone. God forever changed lives. God changed mine, and God changed yours. Mary kept asking her questions, asking her questions, asking her questions, until Jesus called her by name again. Then her life was changed forever, and ours too. Amen.